Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Walking the Talk Radio with your host, the Northern Belle, Andrea Carr. Tune in each and every Saturday at 9 a.m. as she walks the talk. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for tuning in today. Ooh, what a week it's been, a full week, a blessed week, a wonderful week. We've had great times this week. I know there's been many ups and downs, not just in my life, but in everyone's life, but I'm so grateful that we're still here. That's the important thing, that you're still here to enjoy, to participate, because if you weren't, that'd be a big problem. So I'm just glad that you are here, that you are tuned in, and that we're getting ready to talk about some real information today. And I'm praying for each and every one of you that you are having the best blessed life that you can have. Let's go for a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning with open hearts, open minds. Our spirits and souls are ready, Lord God, for a word from you. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way in our lives today, that you would touch each and every area of our lives that need to be touched, that you would open doors, that you would close doors as you see fit, Lord God. Allow us to hear from you. Allow us to not only hear, but be doers of the word as well, Lord God. We thank you right now for every person in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you will do in our lives. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I want to give a big happy birthday shout out to my niece, Yami's Cameron. Happy birthday, Yama. We are definitely going to be celebrating her birthday today. I'm excited. I'm just looking forward to spending time with a family and then what we'll be doing as a family. I'm excited for. So happy birthday, Yama. Happy birthday to all of those that are celebrating birthdays today or this past week, or the coming week. Happy, happy birthday, happy anniversary. Congratulations on the great things that are happening in your life, whether it's a promotion, a new home, new car, new relationship, a relationship that got back on track. Congratulations. And to those that, unfortunately, that's not your testimony, you have sorrow in your life, misery, grief, mourning, please know that we're here for you as well, that we'll be praying for you and praying God's comfort and peace for you and your family during this time. Reach out to people this coming week and let them know that you care. Amen? So, if you're ready, we're going to be talking about even in the midst of the storm. And even in the midst of the storm came to me. It's crazy how you're thinking of something and God will share information with you. And then you'll go on and say, okay, I have the title. Now let me find a scripture. And you come up with a scripture you think is just perfect. And then God said, you didn't ask me about that scripture. I didn't say that scripture. But then you try to argue and say, well, I think this is how it should go. And God has the final say. I'm grateful for that because there are times that I miss it. There are times that Andrea gets caught up in Andrea and wants to do it her way. And God is just like, no, that's not it. And you're like, but it can't get any better than this. And then he shows you something. And you're like, oh, well, yes, it can, because God knows all. He is all. So I just thank him for using me. And I thank you for listening, for supporting. I really do. You have no idea how hard this is. I'm not a shy person anymore. I used to be when I was growing up. I kind of cracked through that shyness shell. So I don't have problems really speaking publicly. But it's still nerve-wracking because you want to make sure that you're doing what God is telling you to do and not what you want to do. And sometimes the things he gives you are not popular to say. And so you don't want people hating you for being the messenger, but it happens from time to time. So it's not easy to give a message that may be frowned upon. Not saying that's what this message is. I'm just saying in general. So be kind to those that God uses, I guess, is my commercial. Today we're going to be talking about even in the midst of the storm. And we're going to be talking about Jesus speaking to the storm today. And this story can actually be found in three different books of the Bible. It can be found in Matthew 8:23-27, Mark 4:35-41, Luke 8:22-25. Today's story, or today's chapter that I'm going to use, is actually Mark's chapter, the fourth chapter, verses 35-41. And I just want to share briefly with you what God laid on my heart. And it says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. I'm using the New King James Version, excuse me. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? That was Mark 4:35-41. And again, I read with the, I used the New King James Version to read this. Matthew and Luke tell a similar story, so you can read it in your time when you want to get a little bit more information. What I do want to say about this scripture is that during this time, during this day, Jesus had already been teaching and healing all day. He had been doing work. And while doing work, he got tired. If you'll read the scriptures, like if you start reading Mark 4 from the beginning all the way to the end at verse 41, you'll see that Jesus was healing people. He was doing miracles. He was teaching. He was bringing people on with him. He was gathering crowds. Crowds were gathering. And they went out, and Jesus said, let's go to the other side of the lake. And even when he went to the other side of the lake, people were still coming, asking questions, and he still was teaching. He didn't really have quiet time during that time. And I want to say to you, I suggest this, that when storms come, they usually come when there's an up moment. They usually come right in the midst of you celebrating and being happy and joyous and excited about something. I remember when I first was a new creature in God. Now, you'll remember, I grew up in the church. I grew up in an AME church. However, I didn't have a relationship with God at that time. I just knew the Bible stories. I really honestly thought that God was a mean person that was going to strike me dead at any moment because he was mean and angry, and I was good not knowing him. When I graduated high school, I said I was done with church, no more church. My aunt sent with me a Bible, and I remember I had some tough times while I was at State, and I had to pull the Bible out, and she told me some scriptures to read to help comfort me. And so I did that from time to time, but I still didn't have a relationship with God. As a matter of fact, the only prayers I knew were the Lord's Prayer and Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. Those are the only prayers that I really knew. And so they didn't help sustain me. Honestly, you know, I thank God that he covered me when I didn't even realize what covering was or that he was covering me. But that was my history with God. So when I was new in Christ, when I had accepted Jesus Christ for real, because I had done it at 16, but I didn't mean it because I had no idea what I was saying or what it meant. But when I for real accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I started having a relationship with God, I remember being a babe in his word, and storms would come, but it wouldn't be so often. It would be like a storm would come, breakthrough would come. I'd be delivered from that storm, and I'd have moments to rest, long moments to rest. it seemed as if the more and more and more I grew in relationship with God, the more I spent time with him, storms started coming left, right. I would be in the midst of a storm and a storm would come. And I'm just like, wait a minute. I couldn't breathe at one point in my life. I was like, Lord, listen. If this is how it's going to be, I'd rather be back out on the street doing what I was doing because I wasn't hit with storms back then. I didn't know what this was. And I couldn't breathe. It was just like, I can't cope. It's too much. And I remember a friend telling me, you know, for real, God only puts on you what you can bear. You know that's a scripture. You know it's a song. But for me, it didn't mean anything at the time because I was like, I can't bear this because I can barely breathe. I can barely stand. All I'm doing is crying. I can't get past this pain, this hurt, I can't. But guess what? I did. So it's not just what I heard. It's what I know that even though we think we're not strong enough, God graces us with strength to go beyond what we think we can handle. And I want to say that storms are not there to destroy you. Storms are there to strengthen you and grow stronger in your faith of God, your faith with God, your faith in God. It's to strengthen you and also to give you a testimony so you can help the people who may not go through that storm or who may not think they're able to go through that storm or who may feel that they're all alone and it's just them going through this. Nobody would understand. So God allows you to go through it because you're stronger. And now it's up to you to strengthen other people. And it's also to bring you closer to him, not further away. And we'll talk about that because many times when we go through a storm, we shut down. Okay, maybe you don't. I do. So this is going to be an Andrea Honesty Transparency session, I see, because nobody understands. They don't go through it like I do. I shut down when it comes to a storm. I don't want to be involved in the storm. I don't want people to be around me. I want to go through it, suck on my thumb. Okay, I really don't do that. But I'm just saying, you know, the baby mentality through a storm. And God has dealt with me where I can't even hide anymore. I used to run and hide and shut down, but people have gotten wise to it. So they know if they don't hear from me for a little while, Andrea must be going through it. Go reach out, make sure she's okay. Make sure she knows she's a conqueror. Make sure she knows she's victorious. Victory is her name. So they pour into me. And it's even gotten to the point where I don't even want to have pity parties anymore. It's just like, okay, whatever. Let's go. Still got things to do. You're not going to stop me, Satan. And a lot of our attacks do come from the enemy, but there are also tests too. God tests us in some things. And it's funny because if you tuned into our Bible study on last Tuesday, yeah, I'm going to keep pushing it, we talked about fear. And God tested me not only in fear to get over and say some things to someone that I didn't even realize I had still left inside of me. And I had to be honest with that person about some things, even to my own embarrassment. We did the letters to release emotions from people we felt abandoned us and also hurt us or broke our hearts. But not only that, we were talking about David, and we're talking about the prayer where you call down harm on other people and how biblical that's not. But David did it in Psalms, and we were talking about it. And had we not talked about it during that Bible study, I would not have been prepared for the test that God gave me later in the week when someone did something to me. And they had been constantly doing something to me. I actually, you know, I had the other side to me, Angie. I actually had to have her pack her bags and go away because if Angie had had just a hint of the word go, it would not have been good for me or this other person, probably not our families either because everybody would have been involved. But had we not gone through that lesson, I would not have learned to just say, God, you got this. And I've been in ministry for years now. But there's still humanness to me. I am still a human being. I am still a woman. I am still flesh. Please don't forget that and think you're so spiritually sound that you will not have human emotions and you must deal with them. You can't just ignore them or you can't let them take control either. You've got to learn how to balance the spiritual human side. And so I was able to, I think I passed the test only because I did not do the things I thought. Here's where I think I might have got a C-, but it's still passing. Because the thoughts I had, whoa, boy. And we know that it starts with thoughts. Everything starts with a thought. So if I could have captured my thoughts, I might have gotten a B out of this test. But because I couldn't capture them and they went rampant for a moment, they took over, they controlled those thoughts to the point where I almost spoke something to do. So you see, you think it, you say it, you do it. I caught it before it came out of my mouth, and I did not do the activity I was thinking. Now I just want to control my thoughts a little bit more, but I thank God for that Bible study. And I don't know who I'm sharing this for, but just know to control your thoughts a little bit more. Don't let them take the best of you, get the best of you. Have some control over those thoughts because it can be very, very dangerous, especially if you act upon those thoughts. So anyway, today, even in the midst of the storm, Jesus had been teaching and healing all day long. He said, let's go out on the lake. He got to the other side of the lake, and there were people who had questions for him. They wanted to know how to join with him, but they kind of gave justification and excuses for why they couldn't. You know, I had somebody that passed away, and Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Read about it, chapter 8 in Matthew, chapter 4 in Mark, chapter 8 in Luke. Read about it, and you'll know more of the history. So they get on this boat, and as they get on the boat, things happen. And the scripture tells us that the wind started. It was blowing. It was a windstorm. And we know how the wind can do. I just want you to picture it. Close your eyes and picture how sometimes we have like hurricane-like weather, tornado-like weather, when the winds are really raging. And if you're on water, you already know how the waves come up, and it almost looks as if the rain is coming down, but the waves are so high, the water is so high up, and it's just beating, and anything in it is getting ravaged and pushed. Well, they were in the midst of that kind of storm. The waves were so high, they were coming into the boat, and the boat started filling with water. And the disciples were fearful. Now, here's what I want to share with you. And I have just three simple points today. Number one, while the storm was brewing, while it was hitting hard, while the waves were coming up and filling the boat, number one, Jesus rested. Jesus rested. It says in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, the A clause of verse 38. During your storm, get rest. There's nothing you can do during a storm that staying up all night is going to take care of or handle. Get rest. And I'm even talking to myself because there are many of us who go through storms in life and we're up all night, we're pacing, we're worrying. We're talking out loud. We can't rest. We can't find peace. We're so afraid. We're so upset. We're so fearful. We don't know what's going to happen next. Jesus rested in the midst of the storm. In the midst of your storm, rest. There's nothing you can do by worrying or being fearful. There's nothing you can do. The storm is still there. Whether you go to sleep and sleep your 8 to 10 hours or 7 to 10 hours, however much sleep you get on a normal basis, there's nothing you can do staying awake that 7 to 10 hours, that 8 to 10 hours. There's nothing you can do, nothing, not at all. So why not lay down and say, Lord, I give this to you. God's up. He's not sleeping. He's constantly doing something. He's constantly working on your behalf. He's constantly working to make sure you're okay. So why are both of you awake when you can't do anything about the storm anyway? Go to sleep. And when I say go to sleep, I don't mean close your eyes and toss and turn. Get rest. I like this verse, this version, because it said he slept on a pillow. Just to keep in mind how peacefully he slept. He didn't sleep on his arm because, you know, sometimes our arms fall asleep. They get cramped up, so we shift in our sleep. It didn't say he laid flat, because sometimes, you know, laying with your neck flat, it hurts your neck and you get a crick in it. No, he slept on a pillow. A pillow suggests softness, relaxation. Think of your nice, big, fluffy pillow. You know those pillows they advertise for like $80 on TV, which I'm still trying to understand why they cost so much, but that's neither here nor there. But those nice, big, juicy, comfy pillows. And if you're like me, I like 7-8 pillows on a bed, and I like a bed full of pillows and just softness, and just lay on them and just put your face in them and hug them. And, oh, I love pillows, big, fluffy ones. So this is what Jesus is doing. He has his head on a pillow and he's resting, just asleep. While the storm is raging at its worst, he's resting. And I want you to get that in your mind. As the storm is building up against you, as the storm is raging against you, as things are coming against you, the attack is heavy, rest. What can you do anyway? At that moment, at that point, give it to God. Give it to him. Here, Lord, since you're going to be up anyway, I give you this concern. It says cast your cares upon God because he cares for you. Here's my concern, Lord. Here's what's going on, Father, and I'm trusting you to handle it. And while you're up, I'm going to sleep. And I'm going to clear my mind, free my mind of all those negative thoughts, those negative consequences of what I would wish would happen during this storm, releasing all of that. Pray before you lay down and go to sleep. Be very honest. God, listen, I'm scared, I'm worried, I'm fearful, but I'm going to have faith, because as we learned in the Bible study, faith cancels out fear. I have faith that you're going to handle this, however you're going to handle it, whenever you're going to handle it, but I know you're going to handle it. And go get rest. There is nothing like rest. Sleep isn't even good. Rest is best, because that means there's nothing on your mind. You are just peacefully asleep. You wake up feeling refreshed. And I don't know who I'm saying that to besides myself, but you've been going to sleep. You haven't been getting rest. You're not refreshed when you're waking up. You're exhausted. You're more tired than when you laid down. And that's because you're not resting. So whatever's on your mind, whatever's in your heart, release it. Release it, release it, release it to God. Even if you pray and have your Bible next to you and pick a scripture that calms you, that gives you peace, choose a scripture to read right before you lay down. Here are a couple of things that I like when I'm going through something and I know my mind is so busy, because sometimes my mind thinks it can handle every situation and come up with a plan. I think I'm 007 sometimes. I put on one of two things. I either do the Bible reading, and I have, I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's a very good one. There's a scripture, it's live. Oh, I can't think of it. Is it NIV live or something like that? And you just press play, and it's different actors that are reading the scriptures to you, the different verses. I either play that, one of three things. I either play that, so I'm listening to Bible scriptures as I sleep, or I listen to gospel music. Well, let me put it like this. I listen to music, regardless if it's gospel music or jazz, one of those, something peaceful, calming. And I don't listen to the shout gospel music that I listen to during the day. I listen to more of a, it's like a jazzy gospel selection, so it's a little more peaceful. It's more worship, let me put it like that, than praise. I listen to more worship because it just lulls me into it. That's exactly what it is. It's worship music. And I listen to that, or I listen to some jazz. Or number three, I listen to nature sounds. One of my most all-time favorites, nature sound, is a thunderstorm. And that sounds really funny, but what we're talking about right now, talking about storms, but the thunder and the rain, oh, it just takes me. I'm just gone. So I'm suggesting this for you. Put on your earbuds or put it on out loud so that it plays. Just don't play it very loud. Put it softly. So it's almost as if your ears have to go to it instead of it blasting in your ears, because that makes it even more peaceful, because you have to quiet yourself in order to hear it. And that goes with the Bible verses. That goes with the worship music or the jazz or the nature sounds. Put it on low, because you have to calm yourself in order to hear it. Calm yourself. Do you see the key in that? Once you get calm, then it can calm you. You've already prayed. You've already given it to God. Now be at peace and get your rest. Number two, Jesus rebuked. Mark chapter 4, verse 39 says, "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.'" This is a two-part thing that Jesus does. He rebukes the wind, because it's a wind storm. The wind is blowing and showing its ugly head, which is causing the sea to act other than what it's supposed to act like. So Jesus is rebuking the wind. "Stop it. You know better than that. That's not what you're supposed to be doing." And then he looked at the sea and said, "Peace, be still. Be who you're supposed to be. Calm down. Relax. That's where you're supposed to be. Tell your storm to get behind you. Rebuke it." One of the things I say when things are going topsy-turvy is, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me." Remember, Jesus spoke that in the scripture. "Get thee behind me." He told Satan that. He told Peter that. "Get thee behind me." Satan was trying to use Peter. No. Jesus wasn't having it. "Get thee behind me. You're not going to lead me." No. So you have to tell your storm, "Stop. You're not going to have power over me. You're not going to control me. You're not going to make me stress, get my blood pressure raised up so I could barely, you know, possibly have a heart attack or a stroke because I'm stressed behind you." Sometimes you got to rebuke your family, because that's where the stress is coming from. Sometimes you got to rebuke your employer, because that's where the stress is coming from. Please do not go to your job saying, "Andrea told me to rebuke you." That's not what I mean. You don't have to say it to the person, but you can say it to the situation. "I've had to do it." Sometimes you have to rebuke a relationship. Sometimes you have to rebuke friends. We'll get to that in a minute. Rebuke your storm. Tell it, "Stop. This is not it. This is not going to happen. It's not. Get off me. Back. Give me 50 feet. Get up off me." Rebuke that storm that you're going through instead of wallowing in it, instead of accepting it. Fight. You have the power and authority. It's in your tongue. You have it within you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You have power. And that's the part that we forget so many times when we're going through a storm, that we have power. We feel powerless. So we let this thing become bigger than the power and authority God gave us. And here's the thing. If you don't think you're powerful enough, you have a daddy that is. Remember when you were a little kid growing up and bullies would come or people would say something to you? "I'm going to tell my daddy," or "I'm going to tell my mommy," or "I'm going to tell my big sister." You went to someone bigger and more powerful than you. So if you don't think you can do it, for sure, God is bigger than anything that can ever happen. He is. There's nothing bigger than. There's nothing more powerful than. There's nothing braver than, more courageous than. God is. That's a whole sentence. God is. So I'm saying this to you. If you don't think you can do it, even though God has already placed it in you, go to daddy. "Daddy, I can't do this one." Remember I said cast your cares on him? Now you're rebuking. Now you're at that point like, "Listen, I got to wake up in the morning and deal with X, Y, Z. Not today. I will not today. You will not bring me down today. I will not think about you today." And if you don't think you can, daddy, Lord, Heavenly Father, God, Master, Provider, Doctor, Lawyer, "Can you see about this situation, please? I have to get on to work or get on to school, or I have to do what I have to do today, so I can't have this concern Again, you're showing that you have faith in it, faith in the power and authority he's given you, faith in him to handle it. Faith cancels out fear. Use your power and authority. Use what God has given you. Use it. Jesus did. He rebuked the wind and told the sea, get back to doing what you're supposed to do. So you rebuke the storms that are coming against you and then tell the fallout, tell it, get back to where you're supposed to be. Someone is talking bad about you, rebuke the talk. Rebuke them coming against you, and then say, now get back where you're supposed to be. You know, this is not even like you. What is the scripture in Ephesians 6? We fight against what? Principalities, darkness in the air. This is all a spiritual thing. So sometimes you look at people who are close to you, and it's like they have become your enemy, and you don't understand why. It's not the person. It's the spirit. So you have to rebuke that spirit. And then make that person get to where they're supposed to be. Which brings me to number three. Jesus reprimanded. Mark chapter 4, verse 40 says, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And can I tell you why he's saying that to his disciples? You've been with me all day, all week, all month, all year. You've been with me since the beginning. So you know what I can do, but you're coming here afraid. First of all, you're not exercising your own power and authority, because everything I'm teaching you and showing you, you have the authority and power to do. So you're not even walking into what I'm pouring into you, but not even that. You don't know who I am. You see me with all the miracles. You've seen me healing people. You've seen what I've taught. You've seen what I've shown you. You have seen what I have shown you. That didn't sound right when I said it. So there should be no fear. Where is your faith? Because what? For the third time, faith cancels out fear. So he had to reprimand them, remind them, who are you? Who am I? And you have to do that with people in your life, because they see you going through a storm, a struggle, and they panic for you. They're so concerned that you're going to fail that they forget to have faith. So you have to remind them, reprimand them, bring them back, slap, 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 come back to reality. I am who I am. God's got this. You keep pushing forward. We're not retreating. God didn't tell us to stop, so we're going to keep going forward. And you have to settle the people around you, because they're in your ear gate. You have to be mindful of what goes into your ear gate, because those negative comments, those negative thoughts, those negative reactions can stop you from realizing what God has for you. The dreams, the visions, the goals, all those things become negated because of circumstances, situations, and storms. And people around you, some people, not all, but there are some people around you that can talk you right out of your blessing. And what I mean by that is, does God take your blessing away? Nope, you walk away from it. Because God will have it right here. It'll be right here, as close to you as your right hand. But their negative commentary will cause you to go all the way back to the beginning. Or you won't even start again. But it was right here. And I'm really talking to myself, because I have seen in my own life how God has had something for me, and if I had just held on and stuck it out, I could have made it. I could have walked through breakthrough and blessing and all the things that he had. But because I listened to not only my negative thoughts, but those that were in my ear gate, and seeing what other people had and how it worked for them or it didn't work for them, and I put down my dreams, my visions, my purpose, and left it. Here's the thing with God that's so funny. He's waiting for you to come back. And you go right back to the place where you dropped it. So here you are thinking, I have a new way of doing it. I have a new outlook, new idea. And God brings you right back to the very place you already were. And you're looking at him like, but I was here already. And God said, and I'm here. I'm waiting for you to walk out what I wanted you to walk out. You're not going to cut the line. You're not going to skip. You're not going to go all the way back. I'm waiting for you right here. This is where I am. I just needed you to get back to where you were supposed to be and capture the people I had waiting for you. Your storms feel like they can destroy you, take you out. Ask Job. I want you to think about that. Job didn't do anything to cause his storm. Satan came looking for him or looking for someone that he could attack so that that person would doubt God, curse God, and come to his side. God said, "Consider, have you considered my servant Job?" Satan took everything away from Job but his life because God said, "You can't kill him." Even to the point where his wife said, "Curse God and die." Gotta not have those people in your ear gates when you're going through a storm, because they'll tell you to quit. They'll tell you to stop. They'll tell you to turn around. They'll say, "This isn't for you. There's too much struggle in this. There's too much for you to do. It can't be of God." That's not true. God is strengthening you. He's testing you. He's giving you power, even more power for the next level that you're going to. So don't give up. You have to rest. You have to rebuke. You have to reprimand. And remind. Remind yourself of who and whose you are. Look in that mirror. You are a conqueror. You are victorious. You have to say those things, not just say them, but believe them. The more you state it, the more you believe it. Have positive scriptures and messages around. You can do it. You will succeed. You are the head and not the tail. You have to have those things pouring constantly into your spirit as the storms come against you. You have to. So that way you keep moving forward and you keep doing what it is that you have to do. There are people who are waiting for you, people who are looking to you for their healing, for their breakthrough, for their victory. So how dare you give up? And I'm talking to me. I'm not reprimanding any of you. I'm talking to Andrea. How dare you give up when there are people who are waiting for you, just waiting? They don't know what to do next, and God gave you the key to help them. How dare you not push and use the gifts, talents, skills that God graced you with? I don't know who this message was for, but even in the midst of the storm, you keep going. You keep pushing forward. You keep moving. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep going. That's my message for you. Thank you so much for listening to Walking the Talk Radio. And remember, this season, we're not just listening. We're actually going to do. So those things that you're hearing that resonate in your spirit, do them. Don't just listen to this word and let it lay. Walk into it. That's what this season is about. Last season, we were talking. This season, we're walking. We're moving forward into our purpose and our destiny. Amen. You have a blessed Saturday. I'll see you on Tuesday during the Bible study, which is at 7:30. I'll post more information about it so that way you can tune in. It's a conference call Bible study. It's actually our family's Bible study, and we open it up so other people can share, because you never know what people are going through and what they may need, so we would never be selfish with what God has given to us. I'll talk to you soon. Have a blessed day. Again, happy birthday, Yamis, and everybody celebrating birthdays today. God bless you.